I'm kind of cracking. Let's go to this one. Let's try that. One, two. Are we there? All right. Good. Well, many of you know, and thank you for your prayers. Jeannie and I last week were down in North Carolina with Arrow Leadership Program doing some mentoring. You know, it's funny. We left snow to go south, right? It was snowing in North Carolina. one of the days we were down there, warmer up here than there. And then we get back, and it's snowing, and I guess that's okay. But again, deeply appreciate your prayers. It was a significant time down there. We did have a little bit of a glitch on Thursday. Jeannie is at the ladies' retreat down in Camp Caroline with a number of our ladies down there, and that meant she had to leave a day early. And we were in Asheville, North Carolina. We were at a retreat center probably 45, 50 minutes from the airport. Her plane goes out at 5:30. Around 2 o'clock, her and someone else who had needed to fly out, they decided just to kind of go through downtown Asheville and then to the airport. So away they go on Uber. 3:30, I get this text from Jeannie. I have your passport. Oh, no. Suddenly, everything else I had planned for the rest of the afternoon took second place. Or had I not got that passport, I wouldn't be here this morning. I would probably be waiting in Asheville or Charlotte for my passport to get FedExed to me from somewhere. I don't know. But because there was another guy on our team who lived in the area and had a car, we were able to meet them downtown, get them to the airport. And it was hectic, but it all worked out. And you think of the need for that passport, that if I'm going to move between two countries, I need a passport. Something has to make that happen. Something has to make that real. And in the same way, it makes us think that we as followers of Jesus, and this has been what we've been talking about since September in our theme of with, we really live in two kingdoms, as it were. Remember when we spent all fall in the book of Colossians to those in Christ, okay, so we are people who follow Jesus Christ under his authority in his kingdom in Colossae, but also walking, living, breathing in a real human city. There are these two kingdoms, two countries, as it were. How do the two connect? If we're going to walk with Jesus, what connects us? And I would like to suggest that prayer is in many ways that passport. Prayer where, led by God's Spirit, we lift our heart to God, and led by God's Spirit, we hear his voice. I think when we talk about prayer in our context, we have no problem with the talking to God part. But for any number of reasons, we struggle around the concept of what does it mean to hear God's voice. And that's for a number of reasons. And one, we've seen it abused, where people have claimed to hear God's voice, and it's so far from what the Bible says that it's not. And yet they take a stance that this is God, and we know it's not. So we kind of throw out the idea. Or we come to think of hearing the Lord's voice as an audible voice or a dream or a vision. And yeah, there are some people that have that, and it's significant, but it's not been our experience. So they hear God's voice. They've got a super S on their chest when it comes to super Christian. We don't. So what does it mean to hear the Lord's voice? And I think we have to start in John 10, though we're going to spend most of our time in John 14. But verse 3 of John 10, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him. And him here is Jesus, the shepherd. And it's very clear. John 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. So the gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd, Jesus, and the sheep listen to the shepherd's voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Jesus is saying here very clearly that I'm a good shepherd, you're the sheep. I want you to hear my voice. as we're in these 28 days of prayer, we've looked at the Lord's Prayer. Last week, the Lord's Heart. This week, the Lord's Voice. And it comes here, John 10, where Jesus says, I do want you to have a relationship with me in which you are led. And you might go, okay, but that's Jesus talking to his disciples when he was on earth and they were on earth. And obviously they're with him. And who needs a passport when you've got an actual mouth who's able to talk to actual ears? That's why we're going to John 14. Because in John 14, things are about to shift. And Jesus is about to leave. To leave in a way that we will be remembering over these next weeks as we go into Easter. John 14 takes place on that Thursday night before the cross. Jesus knew that his literal mouth would be gone. He would go to the cross. He would rise again. He'd have a few more days among them, but then ascend into heaven. And in John 14, 15, 16, one of the things he's addressing is, just because I'm gone doesn't mean you still don't have a passport. He's saying it's going to change. It's going to shift. How walking with me looks is going to shift. But it's still going to be very real. And so I want us this morning to look at what the Bible says about the Lord's voice and about what Jesus said it would look like. And again, there's so much to be said here, but in one message, to talk a little bit around these three questions that Jesus answers in John 14. Question one, how did Jesus say he would continue to care for and communicate with his followers? What was that going to look like? Question two, what did Jesus present as some prerequisites to being led by his Spirit and hearing his voice? And number three, to get really practical, what in what Jesus said here guides us into the practicalities of hearing his voice? Through what means? All right? So those are the questions we're going to go after. How did Jesus say he'd continue to care for and communicate with us? What are the prerequisites to that? And through what means is that going to look like? All right? And again, any one of those could be a series. We do have an end time, so don't worry. We'll cover the high points here. Question one. How did Jesus say he would continue to care for and communicate with his followers? Let me set this up with a story. It's a story about a guy, a young boy, let's say middle elementary-ish. His friend's got a birthday party. His friend lives a few blocks away. And it is blizzarding like crazy. Snowing terribly, not very good visibility. No one's driving. And the little boy says, I want to go to the party. And his parents are kind of at a point of saying, I don't know, it's so bad out there. Everyone's saying, stay off the streets, we're not going to drive you. And the little guy has been able to kind of talk with his friends on his phone, and he's saying, they're all going, I got to go. And, his dad says, well, I guess you can walk, we can take you. He says, this is going to look pretty bad if my dad has to walk me to a party. So the parents kind of hummed and hawed and said, okay, you can go. And the little guy leaves. And it's scary, and he's walking, and at times he can't see very far behind him, and he gets to the roads, and it took quite a bit longer to get to his friend's house than he ever had. And just as he rings on the bell, and they're about to let him in, he turns around, and there is, in his now visible area, the image of his father turning around and going back home. And then he realized that even though I thought I was alone, my dad loved me too much to leave me alone. It didn't look like I was with somebody, but the reality was he was there. Okay, hold that while we go to John 14, verse 16. Jesus has been telling them, I'm going to leave, I'm going to leave. They don't get it, but it's about to happen. And here's what he says now. After I leave, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. The word there is a difficult word in the original to translate it. It means someone to come alongside you. Another one, I've been with you, but now the Father will send someone of our same essence to come alongside you, to be with you. All right? He will help you. He will be with you forever. And now it is, the Spirit of Truth. There he's identified, the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you will know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And then this beautiful verse, I will not leave you as orphans. I'm not kicking you out in the blizzard. I will come to you. If an earthly father who loves his children is going to make sure in the limited way he has that he's going to walk with his kids and know where they're at, how much more will a loving heavenly Father, who is not limited by time and space, be with his kids? And he says, I do that now in the person of my Holy Spirit. And it gets even more incredible when we come down to verse, let's go to 23. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. All right, now we are getting into the mystery of God as three in one. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is telling him, I'm going to leave physically, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to send the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. And then he says a few verses later, the Father and myself will come and make our home in you. In essence, he's saying the Holy Spirit is the presence of the triune God with you and in you. That's pretty profound. In essence, Jesus is saying the passport is not lost. It's changing shapes. And in fact, later in chapter 16, I won't go here, he says it's actually better. Because while I'm here on earth physically, there are times you're not in my presence. But now there's going to be a new reality where the living God is always with you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So that's question one. How does God communicate? And in fact, if we keep going, verse 25, all this I've spoken while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. He'll communicate with you. So the living God will be with you in the person of the Holy Spirit, the caring presence of God, to guide you into truth. All right. That being said, what are some prerequisites to being led by the Holy Spirit? What does that look like? Well, let's go back to verse 23. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. So here's this phrase, will obey my teaching. And in context, I think there's two very profound prerequisites there. The first one is simply a restored relationship with God. To obey or to follow God's teaching is, first of all, to follow the big picture. We got to put it in the context of the book of John, of the Gospels, of the story of the Bible. What is the key teaching there? Well, let's even stay in John 14. John 14, verse 6. Again, he's going to the Father. They don't know what's going on. So they're asking him, how do we know this? You're going to prepare a place. We're going to have life with you. What is that like? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The big picture of obedience to the teaching of Jesus is it comes down to this. We recognize that Jesus is God, who is not only the way to God, and this is so often, I think, where we leave it. He is my ticket to heaven. And in context, Jesus could have said that. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm the way. But he says, no, more than that. I'm not only the way, I'm the truth. Truth is a person. It's Jesus. It's Jesus revealing God and all the truth that God is. And then more than that, I'm the life. The life that I'm bringing you toward in heaven. It can begin now. And even though I leave you on earth, They didn't get it, but what he was about to do on the cross would provide for them a whole new life. This coming of the Holy Spirit was about a brand new quality of life. Again, if we stay at the heart of what John is teaching, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The good news or the gospel that God teaches is not, here's a ticket to heaven, although that's pretty good news. The nub of the good news is Jesus saying, I want to restore life to you the way it was intended in the beginning. All right? And it's not up to you to figure that out anymore. The bad news in the Bible, and before we understand the good news, we got to understand the bad news. The bad news is a God who made us and loved us so much that he didn't make us robots but gave us a choice. The bad news is we say, God, I don't really want to live under you. I want to create my own little country, my own little kingdom. And we walked out from under the life of God. That's the essence of sin. And all the muck in our lives and the junk in our world has to do with us coming out under God's reign. And now we have a life separated from him, filled with all kinds of junk. And we want to get our bearings not from God, but from ourselves and our culture and values that are opposite to him. And the result of that is eternal. God says, okay, you don't want me. Then after life, you're separated from me forever. That's the essence of hell, eternal separation from God. So with that, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus said, I don't want to leave you there. I want you to be with me forever and experience the life I intended to give you. But there's a sin problem. A price has to be paid for you turning your back on God. So God says, I will send Jesus, my one and only son. I am the way who will come down and actually die on a cross to pay that penalty so that now there is a way, not just to heaven, but to new life. Life where no longer our cues come from a fallen culture and keep us on a wrong road, but our cues now come from God, and we can hear God and know life as he was intending it for us. It's still in a fallen world. It's not going to be perfect till heaven, but that's the essence of the gospel. And so the first thing to do in obeying the teaching is wake up and realize, I am hooped. I have turned my back on my maker, and if he doesn't do something about it, I am eternally separated from him. I'm in desperate need. I got nothing. And rather than try and fix it, obedience to the teaching of Jesus is the humility that says, God, what you did in Jesus is my only way to be restored to you. And not only do I want you as my way, but I recognize I want you as my life. Jesus says, you want to keep knowing my presence. Come to me as the way. Believe in me as the way. Turn from your own way to get to heaven. Turn from thinking you know life. Turn to me. Receive forgiveness and be restored to me. And I will give you my very presence in the person of the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's prerequisite one. Prerequisite two, quite simply, flows from that. To obey the teaching, then, is a humble surrender to God. That now once I've come to Christ and I don't earn that, he did it on the cross. If I want to continue to be led by the Spirit, I got to want to know what God is saying, and I got to want to do it. If we want to hear God's voice to bless our agenda, we're either going to hear nothing or we're going to attribute to him words that are not his. And we're not going to have the humility to check that with the word and with other people. If we want to hear from God, is there an attitude in our hearts to actually want to know what our Maker says to believe that, that life with him is the best. Let me put it this way. Any of you who have been around little kids, you probably experienced this. They're having a good time. They're playing. It's all working. It's great. Mom or dad come along as the big ogre and say, it's time to go. It's time to eat. Or the worst one, it's time to go to bed. Right? And mom and dad have said it loudly and clearly. But you can actually see them here shaking their head. And you might be playing with them and say, didn't you hear your mom? No. Yes, you did. It's just that you didn't want to. You didn't want God messing. Because somehow you lost sight of him knowing what is best. It goes back, if you were here a couple weeks ago when I had the privilege of dedicating my granddaughter. I haven't talked about her for like 3 weeks, so. I shared how early on as I'm holding her, I'm wondering, what is she thinking? And it struck me, she doesn't even have words. And then I kind of put myself, if that's God holding me, I don't even have words to begin to understand how big his view of the universe is and how his wisdom sees way more than I do. And God's, what I thought I heard very clearly from God right then is, Lyle, you don't speak universe. And I do. To hear from God is to have the humility to say, God, you speak universe and I don't. And I want to hear from you. And when I hear you, I'm human and I might mess this up. But God, with the help of your Spirit, I want to follow what I hear. I want to have the humility to not only know what your truth is, but to follow it, to receive it, to let it go deep inside me. One of our days at the leadership thing this week was on redemptive leadership. And it was a guy who goes into churches that are in a mess. And he had all these stories about churches where sin had happened either individually and had grown or corporately. And just the mess, story after story after story of mess. Because people said, God, even though we're following you, we really don't want to do what your word says and hear what you have to say. We're going to do it our way. And you know, as we cringe from one story to the next, I'm led to that old hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Not just God help, but what peace and pain, or peace I forfeit and pain I walk in when I don't really want to hear you and do it. So God is saying, do you want to hear my voice? I'm going to give you my Spirit. My Spirit comes as you enter into a relationship with me. You don't have to be a super Christian to have the Holy Spirit. You enter into life with God. You have God's Spirit. But even though he's talking, you can close your ears. Open them. Open them. With a heart to follow. Even an imperfect heart that needs God's Spirit to change it. But just say to God, God, I want to hear you. And even if I hear things that I'm struggling with by your Spirit, I want to follow you, God. Give me that heart. He will speak. So the next question becomes, how does God speak? How does God speak? And again, this is more than a sermon series. I want to go back to John 14. And let's just look at verse 25. And then I'd like to suggest it speaks of three ways God's Spirit speaks to us. John 14, 25 and 26. All of this I have spoken while I'm still with you. Okay, so I've been very direct in speaking with you. But the advocate, this one who's going to come alongside the presence of the Father and the Son in you, verse 23 and 24, the Holy Spirit identified, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. God's Spirit will teach you how he will remind you of everything I have said to you. That little line, I believe, suggests three ways God's Spirit speaks the Lord's voice to us. The first one is this. It's through the written word. We'll remind you. Sitting there that day was Matthew, who would write a gospel. Was John, who wrote the gospel. Were others who would communicate through oral sharing of the story, or even writing it down with the limited ways they had of doing that, would preserve what Jesus said and what he did, so people like Luke and Mark would be able to write a gospel. Those that look at this say, this is one of our profound assurances that what we have here is of the Holy Spirit. God is saying, I am going to remind people of what I've done and what I've taught to a way that it's going to be preserved for you perfectly, truthfully, in a trustworthy way. And that is even more clearly stated in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. So let's go there. Paul's talking here to Timothy, how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. Okay, and by then that would be the Old Testament. By this time, possibly some of the Gospels coming together, although it would be later when the church would affirm them, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And then verse 16, all Scripture, all of these writings, it's God-breathed. It's God-breathed. The Holy Spirit will remind you that the writers of the Scripture were humans. They had personalities. They had context. But God is saying God's Spirit will breathe his life in them. So through their personalities, through their context, you will get what is the true and trustworthy voice of God to you. And the early church, as there were these writings around, wrestled and prayed and came up with what we call a canon that had the divine stamp of God's inspiration. It is, if you want the big theological word, it's inspiration. That when we have here in the Word of God is the written Word of God to us. It is the foundation. Any other way we hear the voice of the Lord has to sync with this. Okay? Someone says, I hear God, and it is contrary to a clear teaching of Scripture. We got to go, wait a minute. I was working on this on a plane on the way home, having been through two airports, Charlotte and Phoenix, because Phoenix is so on the way back to Edmonton. But well, that's another story. I'm sitting there going, how was I able to navigate two fairly large airports with planes all over the place? And in the midst of all those people rushing all over the place and planes taking off everywhere, how did I manage to get myself on the right plane? Especially with Jeannie not with me, okay? And the answer is, there's that big board. And it says, departures, that's where you're going, that's the gate. Okay, now, I might say, you know what? I like the gates up that aisle because I've been here before and they have better restaurants and better shops. So I don't really care what that is. That board, it's an opinion. I'm just going to go here. Guess what? I'd have missed my plane. Because truth is truth. Right? And unfortunately, we live in a world that has in so many ways put the Bible alongside so many other things as a source of truth. And I think even in Christianity, we can buy into this. And we have to be careful to say, no, I am coming back to the Word of God. Because it's easy to substitute. So often, we think God is just blessing a North American dream, and we love to hear God affirm our North American dream, and maybe he's challenging it. We also live in a world where more and more in this search for spirituality, you know, issues like Ouija boards and tarot cards and palm reading and all of that. And you know what? The Bible calls that divination and says it's wrong. There's another voice out there. There is, in this world opposed to God, there is a demonic presence that wants to that wants to deceive us. And God says, in all that you hear from God, go back to what God has inspired by His Spirit, put down in His Word, and it's the foundation. Amen. Thank you, Dallas. But now let's go to the next one. Because sometimes I think we leave it there and almost make it mechanical instead of living. That we have a written word, but the Holy Spirit, because He's the presence of God the Father, God the Son in our lives, we also have the living word. So the other way God speaks to us is through God's Spirit directing our thoughts. Okay, and this is where I'm going to leave it. He will remind you again, okay? And it's not only Matthew and John who are in that room, but He's speaking to all of them. And I think He's speaking to all of us as followers, that having this foundational truth, we now have the living word to remind us out of this truth how it applies to our lives, how it speaks to others, how it directs us specifically in specific situations. Okay? When I prepare a sermon, I am asking God to guide me. Yes, I want it in the Word, but I also want the Spirit to guide me so that as I'm presenting the Word, it's true, and the way I'm presenting it is led by Him. Now, there's another fancy theological word for that, and it's illumination. Now, the thing with illumination, though, it comes through human vessels that are fallible. And I'm going to talk more about this. But what God is saying, you all have the Holy Spirit, the same one who inspired the biblical authors, the author, the capital A author, who inspired the biblical authors, is in you and with you. Don't you think He's able to point it out and say, hey, that might apply there, that might apply there? Let's go to Romans 12, 2, because I think that's exactly what it's talking about. Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, perfect, and pleasing will. We live in a world where it is easy to conform to all kinds of messages out there, and God says, no. I want to transform you and change you and work in your life. As your mind is renewed, as you come under the written word and you're asking God to guide you, and then He can take that written word and you will know His direction, His good, perfect, pleasing will in specific areas, okay? But the two work together, okay? If you were to come to me and say, hey, will you pray that I do well on my test, and we get talking more and I find out you didn't study, do you think God, without you having given Him some raw material, will download things? I mean, He can. That verse, be transformed, the form of the verb, only God can do this, but the renewing of your mind, the thing is, this is something you need to do. You need to bring your mind under the Word of God, led by the Spirit, so that in real life situations, you can start to hear God's voice. Now, can it be an audible voice? Can it be a dream? Can it be a vision? Yes. All of those can also be counterfeit. So neither discount them, nor take them as proof, but check them against the Word. But I like what Dallas Willard says, because I think he says, for most of us, it's the still small voice. It's that little nudge. It might have happened to you while you were singing in worship. There was a phrase that stuck out, and it spoke to your situation, and a psalm kept going, but you were stuck there. Guess what? You may not have been interrupted or distracted at all. That may have been the Holy Spirit saying, pay attention to this. Because it's true, and I love you, and I want you to take it deep into who you are. Have you had those times when you're going through a day and you just have someone on your mind and a sense you need to pray for them? Well, is praying for someone consistent with the Scriptures? Yes. Maybe that's God saying, right now, I am specifically taking this pray for one another, and I am asking you to pray for that person. Encourage that person. Write them an email. Maybe in the midst of a real struggle, you're reading the Word, and you read something like what love the Father has lavished on you, that you should be called children of God. And God goes, believe it. Believe it. Take it deep. That's His Spirit. Maybe you're at work and you've walked by this coworker every day for who knows how long, or a fellow student, and today you notice a frown, a heaviness, and you try and walk by, but there's this sense of ask them how they're doing. You think that's biblical to care? So you do. And it may lead to a conversation, it may not. Sometimes even as you're praying for someone, you get an idea, and it's consistent with Scripture. Maybe that's what God is asking to pray, or even as you're praying to say, hey, this is coming to mind. I don't know for sure that it's God, but let me give it to you. I had that this week. We were going to lunch. It was at a cafeteria, and standing in line, and a guy comes in and, you know, how you doing? And he said, well, you know, kind of been tough, because twice on my way here, whatever, I'm not sure what the details were, he said, I kind of was rejected. I was kind of pushed out of the people who were talking. And he said, but you know, the neat thing is that my sense in that is God asking me the question, what about me? So I said, okay, well, let's you know, after a bit, I was, okay, let's pray about that. And I had this, again, out of nowhere, but if I believe the Holy Spirit is in me, this little phrase, there is room at the table for you. Is that biblical? Well, followers of Jesus are invited into His presence. And I just said, you know, as you're talking, as I want to pray for you, I don't know, this is kind of what came to me. God might be wanting, you know, there's room at the table for you. And tears. That's not me. And it's not ooey-gooey, hocus-pocus. It's just, God, as I'm praying, lead me. And I'm not coming in and saying, thus saith the Lord, there is room at the table. I'm saying, you know what? This is what's coming to mind. I'm asking God to guide me. Does this mean anything to you? And God is speaking through that still, small voice. Now, two key cautions. God's word is foundational. And you know, a lot of times in Christianity, we got different interpretations, so, but we're always coming back to the Word of God and doing the work of what does the Word of God say? So those thoughts come. The first thing I want to do is ensure they're biblical. And secondly, I need to stay humble. I think where we get turned off on those who hear the Word of God, the misuses, it's typically out of a lack of humility before God. To check it. And you know what I've experienced, those that are sincere in this, they typically are, you know, this is what I'm hearing. What do you think? And we hold it before God. Together, which leads to the third way that God speaks. And that is through the confirmation of godly community. All of the yous in Roman or in John 14 are plural. We need to pay attention to that in our individualistic culture. Because God has given us one another as we struggle to hear His word. I love, there's a story, a guy named Parker Palmer, who was a preacher, writer. He exercised this in a way that he writes about. He was offered a position to be president of a, university or a college or something like that. And he just wasn't sure where God was leading. So he got a group of people around him. And the idea wasn't that they would kind of tell him what to do, but as God was putting questions on their mind, ask it. And as they're doing that, someone asked him, what would you like most about being a president? He said, it took me about a minute. And I said, boy, there's a lot I wouldn't like. I wouldn't like having to give up my writing and teaching. I don't like the politics. I wouldn't like having to glad hand people just to get money. Boy, I wouldn't. And someone stopped him and said, you know, that wasn't the question. What would you like? And after a long time, he said, well, I guess what I'd like most is getting my picture in the paper with the word president under it. After a little bit of silence, someone broke it saying, well then, Parker, can you think of an easier way to get your picture in the paper? Someone in community had brought him back to his motives, squared with a word, it became pretty obvious. And the word was confirmed in community. Even these 28 days of prayer, as church leadership, you know, we're wanting to know, where is God leading next? We actually are talking about with. So, you know, in his word, we've got relationship with our neighbors, relationship with one another, all of that. And especially in this relationship with our neighbors, we know we need to have an impact. Where? How? So following God's word, that's what the leadership said. Let's just ask. Let's pray about it. And maybe as you're praying, there are ideas or thoughts, and could it be God? It could. Could it be you? It could. But that's what we're asking. Just let us know. I think the Tuesday after, I think it's April 3rd, I'm just going to have a time that Tuesday night. Anyone who wants to come and share what God's put on their hearts, let us know as staff. As a community, we're going to discern it. Just see if there's any themes, what's going on. But taking seriously that there's a living God who doesn't just work through leadership, but he works through all of us. And in community, we discern together where he's leading. Because it's a living spirit and a living word. All right? So this Thursday in North Carolina, that little passport between countries became very important to me. But I hope as we continue to walk with God, this amazing passport called prayer, us through Christ and what he did on the cross, lifting our hearts and our questions and our needs, God by his Spirit through his word, in community bringing his word to us as we continue to move forward and follow. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word, both your written word and that your Son is the living word who indwells us by your Holy Spirit. Word of God, speak. Pour down like rain. God, thank you for your voice. God, we live in a culture with so many voices. Thank you for your word that stands as the foundation. Give us ears to hear, hearts to discern, led by your Spirit. But God, in the midst of some of the abuses and misunderstanding, may we not just throw out the whole biblical concept that we are your sheep and your sheep hear your voice. And teach us to hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Let's stand together.
It's okay.
invite you this afternoon, 3 o'clock. Here's what we're going to do in the prayer time today. Have a little bit of time of singing together, worshiping, and then I'm just going to introduce about 30 to 45 minutes, giving you an opportunity to go alone with God in a passage of Scripture and listen to what He says to you through it. And then we're going to come together and share that, okay? You might go 30 to 45 minutes. For some of you, that's short. For some of you, that might be long. If you're a journaler, bring a journal. If you like to walk, maybe head out and walk, and God will keep thinking about that passage, praying through that passage. So that's at 3 this afternoon, and invite you to come and be part of that. Again, through the week, there's a devotional guide. This week's passages are on the Lord's voice. And there's some available to Welcome Center, or if you're on a line, that'll come to you every day if you sign up for that. Let's close our time in prayer. There's going to be a prayer team here who would love to pray with you. God, thank you that while we have the blessing of written word, and it is foundational truth, we have the amazing reality and privilege of a living word, your Spirit, taking the truth and helping us live it day by day. And we have a community when we're wondering to come and ask and pray together and search together your heart and mind. God, teach us to hear your voice. And by your Spirit, give us hearts to follow, we pray. In Jesus' name.